Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air on the eve of the vote in the House whether to impeach President Trump for a second time. Just in tonight, the key Republican who will vote to impeach. After the horror that played out at the Capitol tonight, President Trump's first time in front of the cameras, taking no responsibility, defending what he said to his supporters. After telling them to march to the Capitol, I'll be there with you, and that you have to be strong and have to fight like hell. Tonight, calling those words, quote, totally appropriate. And this evening, growing calls for impeachment. We have just learned Republican Liz Cheney says she will vote to impeach, saying there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and of his oath to the Constitution, saying none of this would have happened without the president. And tonight, new reporting here on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Are some Republicans now moving on impeachment? What our team has learned, John Carl standing by live. Also tonight, the other major headline, the warning the day before the deadly riot at the Capitol. The FBI had warned of, quote, war at the Capitol just one day before the siege. What they were picking up, the ominous chatter. News of the warning comes after federal officials had claimed there was no indication an attack was coming. What ABC News has now learned tonight about that internal warning about extremists coming to Washington to launch an assault. And tonight, what now about the inauguration amid growing threats? And across this country, law enforcement in all 50 state capitals now preparing for demonstrations. The coronavirus in this country, the race to vaccinate Americans. Only one-third of the 27 million doses shipped out have actually been given. So what's being done? And where do we need to be to halt the spread of the virus? Tonight, the alarming numbers on the slow rate of vaccinations. And news tonight, the CDC now expanding guidelines for vaccinations to everyone 65 and older and suggesting no holding back of those second doses. Get the vaccines out. The virus surging across the U.S. tonight. We're with the ambulances, the paramedics with patients in dire need, now being turned away at several hospitals. No more beds, no more room. And tonight, here are the images that moved us today, now emerging from the tunnels under the Capitol.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on this Tuesday night on the eve of what will be an historic vote in our nation's capital, whether to impeach President Trump for a second time. There is news coming in at this hour. There appears to be some movement among some Republicans on this. And of course, the other major headline tonight, what's now being done to protect the president-elect Joe Biden and the inauguration. As ABC News now learns of an FBI internal memo the day before those deadly riots, indicating that they had picked up threats and messages among them, some Trump supporters telling each other, we get our president or be prepared to die. President Trump speaking out for the first time since the deadly siege, expressing no regret or responsibility for the deadly attack, calling his remarks, urging the marchers to be strong, to fight like hell. He called those remarks, quote, totally appropriate. Tonight, House Democrats are moving forward a vote set for tomorrow to impeach the president for incitement of insurrection. That would make him the first president in history to be impeached twice. And that new reporting that the FBI picked up those messages from Trump supporters saying, go there, ready for war. And tonight, the news involving a key Republican in the House, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the daughter of the former vice president, and the number three Republican in the House saying, I will vote to impeach the president. Tonight, there's also reporting on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the House Judiciary Committee also just releasing its 76-page report on impeachment. And it concludes saying President Trump committed high crime and misdemeanors against the nation by inciting insurrection at the Capitol in an attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. So let's get right to our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight. And John, a lot to unpack here just as we come on. But this statement, first of all, from Representative Liz Cheney, a key Republican in the House, she says there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution.
David, this is a big deal. Liz Cheney is a conservative Republican who commands respect, and her words about the president couldn't be more damning. She says, quote, the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. None of this, she says, would have happened without the president. In his first public appearance since his supporters attacked the Capitol building last week, President Trump barely addressed these horrific images. The seat of democracy desecrated, officers screaming for their lives. He showed no remorse either.
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate.
What Trump did today, blaming others for what he caused, is a pathological technique used by the worst of dictators.
But today, ABC News has learned Republican leader Kevin McCarthy told House Republicans that the president admitted to him that he might be, quote, a little bit responsible after he told his supporters to go to the Capitol.
We're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you, because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength, and you have to be strong.
Today, Democrats are trying to pass a resolution calling on Vice President Pence to evoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump by declaring him mentally unfit.
This is not just a crisis and an emergency. It is a continuing crisis and emergency. It is not over yet. Can we say that we feel safe being in the hands of this president with the horror and the threats returning to the nation's capital?
House members spoke about the terror they experienced as Trump supporters marauded through the Capitol. Representative Norma Torres of California said she was trapped in the House gallery listening to gunfire. As she saw smoke from the tear gas rising, her son called her.
The call lasted 27 seconds. All I could say, sweetheart, I'm okay. I'm running for my life. And I hung up.
She pleaded for the vice president to help remove the president.
I urge Vice President Pence to do the right thing.
It's unlikely Pence will take the dramatic step of asking the Trump cabinet to declare the president unfit for office, but he hasn't said anything publicly to rule it out. ABC News asked the vice president's office again today. No answer. Trump and Pence met in the White House yesterday for 90 minutes, and today Trump sounded confident.
The 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me.
If Pence doesn't act, Democrats plan to move tomorrow to impeach Trump, making him the first president in American history to be impeached twice. Today, the president ominously warned that would anger his supporters and would be, quote, very dangerous for the USA, especially at this very tender time. But Republican leaders in the House and Senate, who have stood by Trump for 4 years, are not trying to whip votes against impeachment and pressure lawmakers to support the president. House members are being told to vote their conscience. And tonight, the number three Republican in the House declared she is voting to impeach. Congresswoman Liz Cheney declared, the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. Cheney added, there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his oath of office and his oath to the Constitution. A source familiar with Kevin McCarthy's phone call with Trump Monday tells ABC News McCarthy told him it was time to call Joe Biden, adding, quote, the election is over and you lost. And in the Senate, Republican Rob Portman tonight urged the president to, quote, address the nation and explicitly urge his supporters to remain peaceful and refrain from violence.
So let's get back to Jonathan Carl with us tonight. And John, we all took note today that the president had several opportunities before the cameras today, and he did not tell supporters who might be planning violence around the inauguration, either in the Capitol or in state capitals, not to do it. He did not condemn those who are plotting after this intelligence coming in over the last several days that there are plans in the works. And back to what you were reporting, we know at some point after this vote in the House whether to impeach, of course, that this will go to the Senate for trial. And you're learning tonight that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell may actually welcome this impeachment.
David, McConnell, as far as I know, has not told anybody how he would actually vote in a Senate trial. But I am told by two people close to McConnell that he welcomes the House impeachment vote and that he does believe that Donald Trump committed impeachable offenses.
That is a major development tonight. John Carl leading us off. John, thank you. And now to that chilling new report that there was an FBI internal report the day before the siege warning of a violent war at the Capitol, that some reporters were picked up saying that we get our president. There were reports, actually, of chatter that we get our president or we die. And what's being done now to protect the inauguration? Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas.
The warning was stark. Tonight, ABC News learning the day before the riots, the FBI's Norfolk, Virginia office sent out an internal bulletin raising the specter of growing calls for violence. One online thread stating, be ready to fight. Congress needs to hear glass breaking, doors being kicked in, and go there ready for war. We get our president or we die. FBI officials said today the intelligence was raw, did not name specific individuals, and was shared with officials in D.C. Sources saying the mob had leadership with communications equipment and military expertise.
We're looking at significant felony cases tied to sedition and conspiracy. People are going to be shocked with some of the egregious contact that happened within the Capitol.
The FBI also releasing new images of the person suspected of planting those two pipe bombs, showing a distinctive backpack and shoes. And a new detail, the bombs were equipped with timers. Law enforcement chasing down more than 100,000 leads, simultaneously racing to disrupt any plans for violence on Inauguration Day. Capitol Police telling House Democrats overnight they're preparing for more than 10,000 armed Trump supporters to descend on the Capitol for the inauguration. Some reportedly planning to form perimeters around the Capitol complex, the White House, and the Supreme Court, blocking anyone who doesn't support Trump, perhaps assassinating them.
They have published rules of engagement, meaning when you shoot and when you don't.
Today, officials arresting 45-year-old Louis Capriotti of Chicago, who threatened to kill members of Congress in a voicemail writing, "We will surround the blank White House." Concerned lawmakers suggesting all members of Congress go through metal detectors at the inauguration. Law enforcement in all 50 state capitals preparing for demonstrations.
If there's any type of disorder, we will have the reinforcements there.
As the FBI tracks down hundreds of rioters, Aaron Mostofsky, seen at the riot holding a Capitol Police officer's shield, is the son of a New York City judge. He was arrested this morning. Jake Angeli is now in an Arizona jail, facing multiple charges. His mother says he initially refused to eat after turning himself in this weekend.
He gets very sick if he doesn't eat organic food, literally will get physically sick.
All right, so let's bring in Pierre Thomas with us tonight. And Pierre, of course, all of this is very unsettling for people watching at home. The security surrounding the Capitol, the inauguration just days away. Is there any talk of moving the inauguration to another location, or are authorities still convinced that they can protect the president-elect, the vice president-elect, and all of those who will gather with them?
David, law enforcement officials continue to say the venue has not changed, but the security situation is becoming so serious, those discussions may come up, David.
And Pierre, the original plan, I know, was to set up the security perimeter the day before the inauguration around the Capitol. They've now moved that up significantly?
Yes, they have. They're building additional layers of security, bubbles within bubbles, in order to harden the inauguration perimeter. They want to make it impossible for someone to get to members of Congress or the new president. David, it's so intense. Congressional leaders have been told they will be reimbursed if they buy bulletproof vests.
That's just extraordinary. I know they're going to begin that security, those bubbles you speak of, this week now. Pierre, thank you. We're going to move on to other news tonight in the pandemic and now the race to vaccinate Americans. Only one third of the 27 million doses shipped out across this country have actually been given. Tonight here, more on the alarming numbers, this slow rate of vaccination, and news this evening, the CDC is now expanding guidelines for vaccinations to everyone 65 and older, suggesting no holding back of those second doses to get the vaccines out. Here's Eva Pilgrim tonight.
Facing criticism for a sluggish vaccine rollout, the Trump administration now urging states to expand vaccination to include Americans over 65 and adults with pre-existing conditions.
Every vaccine dose that is sitting in a warehouse rather than going into an arm could mean one more life lost or one more hospital bed occupied.
The government will now release all vaccine doses instead of holding second doses back. Just one third of 27 million doses distributed have gone into arms.
States are strapped for resources. I've heard from many health departments saying I have personnel and I have resources to do testing or to do vaccination, but I cannot do both.
To boost the numbers, some states are opening mega vaccination sites with more planned, from a massive hub at Disneyland to New York's City Field, home of the Mets. Across the country, most vaccinations require an appointment, but getting one can be difficult.
5 hours plus yesterday, couldn't get through, really losing my mind trying to do this.
In New York, Ellen worked two phones and a computer before landing an appointment for her 78-year-old husband, Michael. In Florida, Liz Callahan says she has been trying to make an appointment for her 85-year-old mother-in-law for 3 weeks with no luck.
It says to keep hitting refresh. It said all the sites or all the slots for this week have gone. Try again next week.
And Eva Pilgrim joined us tonight from Brooklyn outside one of those mega vaccination sites. We're seeing these pop up around the country now in this effort to try to ramp up vaccinations. But give us a reality check tonight, Eva. How many vaccinations will we need to see daily in this country to try to reach widespread immunity? And where are we in reality?
Well, David, right now we are seeing about 700,000 people vaccinated every day across the country. By one estimate, the American Hospital Association, we need to be vaccinating about 1.8 million people daily to get to that widespread immunity by the end of May. David.
1.8 million daily, and we are at just 700,000, Eva. Thank you. A long way to go. In the meantime, we're seeing the worst surge yet, still not at its peak. More than 22 million Americans have now tested positive, right now averaging 246,000 cases a day. That's 170 cases every minute. More than 379,000 American lives lost, some 3,200 lives every day now. Tonight, we're with the paramedics, with patients in dire need now being turned away at hospitals across this country with no more beds, no more rooms, in some cases, 2-3 hospitals at a time. Here's ABC's Kaylee Hartung tonight.
Tonight, doctors bracing for what they're calling a perfect storm. Hospitals already pushed to the limit as the post-holiday surge worsens.
The number of patients admitted inside the hospital is at levels that most hospitals have not seen.
California topping 30,000 deaths since the beginning of the pandemic. LA County alone approaching a million cases. Hospitals forced to turn ambulances away. Today, we saw it happen with the Long Beach Fire Department.
These are challenges that we have to deal with in the fire department to make sure that we can be responsive to the community.
And 1, 2, 3 hospitals later, you're just looking for the closest bed.
That's right.
It's a story repeated across the country and in record numbers. Close to 130,000 people now hospitalized with the virus. Doctors in Alabama calling the crisis frightening.
It's going to basically get to the point that elective, non-emergent procedures simply don't get done.
And new fears of a super spreader event in that state after this scene erupted. Fans, most without masks, packing the streets of Tuscaloosa to celebrate Alabama's national championship win. In Las Vegas, 9 members of the Sotatani family got infected. The father, Eric, didn't make it.
If you think you're untouchable, you're not. This disease does not discriminate. Trust me. Trust me. It affects the whole family.
And David, tonight the CDC is announcing that anyone trying to fly into the U.S. must show proof of a negative COVID test or they will not be allowed to board that flight. That's regardless of citizenship or vaccination status. David.
All right, Kaylee Hartung tonight. Kaylee, thank you. And when we come back, there is news tonight involving one of the police officers and the death of George Floyd. And then later here, the major recall tonight now growing involving dog food turning deadly. More cases in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, we have learned that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be tried separately for the killing of George Floyd, a judge separating Chauvin's trial from the other three officers charged. Chauvin seen with his knee on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, the judge citing the volume of evidence in the case. We have a passing to note tonight. Sheldon Adelson, a casino mogul and one of the country's most influential Republican donors. The son of immigrants, he became a billionaire with hotels and casinos from Vegas to China. President Trump awarded him and his wife Miriam the Medal of Freedom in 2018. Tonight, the FDA is expanding that dog food recall. Certain sport mix products by Midwestern Pet Foods have been blamed for the deaths of more than 70 dogs. The FDA now warning about high levels of aflatoxin, which can be poisonous. We have more on our website. A final note here tonight, the images from a tunnel under the Capitol. Thank you notes for the officers who tried to fight off the rioters to protect members of Congress and their staff. The notes growing by the day with so many stopping to add another. Officer Megan O'Leary among those reading them, the sign on the lower left saying, "We are thinking of you." So many notes thanking the officers who fought back for their bravery. I'm David Muir. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow from all of us here. Good night.